Hit into the right field corner and gone. A line drive home run inside the foul pole for Alex Gordon. He has homered in back-to-back games.
Alex Gordon starting to hit the cover off the ball. Like to hear that. That's the voice of the Royals line, Brian LeFevre. He'll join us in about 20 minutes right here on the Sports Ticket. Talk Royals baseball as the Royals, Kyle Zimmer. I was pleading to let Kyle Zimmer have a shot, and I don't back down from that comment. I'm okay with it because he needs to learn that situation, how to deal with those situations, so that later in the year he can handle them. And so yesterday, didn't handle the cold weather. He walked three straight guys, walked the bases loaded, then he was taken out. I'm okay with him doing that. I don't need to see Willie Peralta, Brad Boxberger, Jake Diekman do that. Mm-hmm. Those guys shouldn't do that. Kyle Zimmer has a lot more potential if he stays healthy. So I stand by the comment. They at least tried him. Oh, it didn't work. Yeah. It's contagious. It's a disease throughout the whole bullpen. But I have no problem with them sticking a Zimmer out there and giving him a shot. And he had only pitched once in 10 days. I'll make a little bit of excuse for him. He might have been a little rusty, and that's on Ned and the Royals as well. But having said that, Kyle Zimmer won't use excuses. He just didn't get the job done yesterday. Next time out, he might. But right now, the whole bullpen really struggling. Royals were up 3-2. Then it was 3-3. Jake Junis pitched well enough. Six innings, three runs, struck out eight. He gets a no decision. Zimmer gets his first Major League Baseball loss, and the Royals fall to the Tigers. They have today off, and then they'll be back in action at 12:10 tomorrow against the Tigers in Motown. And as we said, Ryan LaFever will join us in a little while to talk about the Royals and how they can fix their bullpen and other things. Local sports, Dusty.
Yes, had some softball and baseball yesterday in the area where the Beloit Trojans sweep both baseball and softball. And softball, a 3-0 win over Sylvan Lucas Lincoln in the first game. And Darby Odell pitched a no-hitter, the complete game win for Darby there. And also had two RBI helping their cause offensively. So and a 3-0 win there, an impressive performance for Odell. And then Beloit winning the second game over Sylvan Lucas Lincoln, 10-0 in five innings. Madeline Johnson, the winning pitcher in game two. She pitched a one-hitter, so Sylvan Lucas Lincoln held a one hit throughout the doubleheader. Carson Brown had three RBI for Beloit in that win in the second game. Also on baseball side of things, Beloit picking up their first two wins of the season as the Trojans beat Lincoln Sylvan Lucas 15-5 in five innings in the first game. And then they took the second game 7-3 over Lincoln Sylvan Lucas. So Beloit now 2-6 on the season in baseball. They're 6-0 on the softball field now after yesterday. Some activities coming up today. Just track and field really taking center stage in our area. Concordia Invitational with Beloit, Smith Center, and Southern Cloud. Starting a field events at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Rock Hills and Lincoln are at the Bennington Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And Osborne heads out west to the Hoxie Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon as well. So that's a look at what's going on as far as local sports are concerned today. And for all the latest in local sports, ncksports.com.
All right, so you think the Royals have a problem. They've lost four games in a row. I'll tell you of a college that has a bigger problem. Note to all sports coaches, the term lighting a fire under your team is not meant to be taken literally. Did you hear about this story? Unfortunately for a high school baseball coach in Utah, he apparently did not get that memo. Steve Ross, the head coach of Clearfield High School's varsity baseball team, has been placed on administrative leave after allegedly pouring 15 to 20 gallons of unleaded gasoline on the team's home field. Why would he do that? He thought it'd help dry the field out. Well, if you light it on a fire, that'd probably work. His ill-advised gas dump was apparently an attempt to dry out the wet field. During a game in late March, a parent noted that the field smelled like gas. A formal complaint was filed. Now, instead of a dry field, Clearwater has no field. While Ross is stuck at home facing the consequences of his extremely poor decision-making, the field is being dug up. As the Davis County Health Department examines exactly how much damage the gasoline has done, there's concern that the gas has penetrated the soil enough to contaminate the groundwater. It sounds like Mr. Genius Baseball Man's drying method has turned into a rather expensive, inconvenient sideshow for the school, and his baseball team is left without a coach until Clearfield decides what they're going to do with Ross. Meanwhile, the school may have to invest in a tarp. Yikes. How dumb can you be?
I can't even, like, explain or comprehend, I guess is the right word, like, what would... What would go through
good
your
about
mind
that idea
to make you think that sounds good? Like what?
Yeah.
What?
What were you thinking?
Like, I've used gasoline to like clean a bunch of like grease and stuff off your hands when you're working on the farm, things like that. Yeah. They aren't gonna really hurt anybody in the long run once you clean it all off. But it's just like you're dumping gasoline on grass.
Yeah.
And on a. I don't understand it.
I don't either. Well, he lost his job over
it. He'd probably be better off just letting that dry off.
And, you think?
And let's just take a day off and not be on the field.
Might as well just let the flail on fire. Naturally. Would have been better. Just light a match to it, and then that'll warm it up and dry it out. Be no grass left, but hey, whatever. Crazy stuff. All right, the Final Four is this weekend. It's coming up tomorrow night. First game is Virginia and Auburn, which I think is going to be the more fun game to watch. Michigan State, Texas Tech is the second game. So let's start with Auburn and Virginia. It's going to be a contrast in styles. Virginia plays more defense than Auburn, but Auburn plays defense that forces turnovers. Bruce Pearl, head coach of Auburn, says turnovers. That's what it's all about.
We try to turn people over. We turn people over almost 25% of a possession. They don't turn over but 9 times in a game. And the more you try to turn them over, the better you make their offense. So the challenge for me is, do we do what got us here? Or do we play them the way you need to play them in order to be able to contain that system?
I think it's simple. You do what got you there. I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, it is difficult as a coach because you want to adapt to the opponent. But many coaches I've talked to over the years, like, listen, I don't want to do what we've done all year long to get where we got, and then we completely change our identity, and then we lose. And I'm like, well, why didn't we stick with what got us there?
Yeah, don't overthink this.
Don't overthink.
Basically what I would say about it.
I agree with you. Virginia and Auburn is the first game. The second game is Texas Tech and Michigan State. This could be a low-scoring game, or it really needs to be low-scoring, I think, for Tech to have a better chance to win. Chris Beard, the head coach of Texas Tech, and he is kind of college basketball's media darling right now. In his third year at Tech, he's taken them to the Final Four, and he talks about Michigan State.
We're looking forward to playing on this stage. In our opinion, Michigan State's one of the best teams in college basketball. They have great players and a Hall of Fame coach. We have nothing but respect for their program and the things they stand for. We're in our third year of building our program at Tech, and we're striving to be in the same conversation of the Michigan States of the world.
Yeah, of course, Michigan State has that tradition, but they also have some good players.
When you prepare for these games, you get to know this team. I feel like I just know Michigan State more than anybody from the notes, the articles. But I would tell you that Cassius is a great defender, too. He picks and chooses possessions. He's smart. He plays all those minutes and stays out of foul trouble. But I think he's a very, very good defender, well at his position. So we have a lot of respect for all their defensive players. Their team defense speaks for itself. You know, we're going to have to play great offensively to score a basket.
One of the biggest advantages Michigan State may have in this situation is Virginia hasn't been to the Final Four since 84. Auburn has never been to the Final Four. Texas Tech's never been to the Final Four. Michigan State, Coach Izzo, has been to the Final Four many times. He's been to the national championship multiple times. He's won a national championship back in 2000. And Izzo, it's pretty simple. It's all about chasing the championship.
I think we're ready for this task. It's the connectivity has made this team a very special team in a lot of ways, but the team has had success because it doesn't get too far ahead of itself. It truly has taken things one game at a time. I think everybody wants to win a national championship, and right now all we're concentrating on is Texas Tech.
Okay, so let's go back to the first game, Virginia and Auburn. Auburn a 5 seed, Virginia 1 seed, only 1 seed remaining, 5:09 on CBS tomorrow evening. And you know, the picks this year for us, especially me, have not been good. So you might want to go with the opposite. I feel pretty good about this pick here, although I'm going to be cheering for the team that I'm not picking, although it doesn't really matter to me because I really would be happy for either team if they make it to the championship. I'm on the bandwagon of Virginia after losing to a 16. It would be the perfect story to come back and win it all the very next year. I think they are the best team of the four remaining, personally. Auburn, I think you see it so many times in sports where a guy gets hurt and you play your supporting cast and role players. You step it up for one game or 1 week, whatever it may be. But eventually you fall off. Auburn, I think, is happy to be there. I think Virginia is happy to be there. But I think Auburn is even more happy to be there. And they weren't expected to be there. Virginia, you know, a lot of people said they should be there. And they rely on a three-point shot, and it always comes down for me, for Auburn, are they making threes? And when they're missing threes, they're down 10 in the first half to Kentucky. When they're making threes, they come back and beat Kentucky in overtime. But if they don't get turnovers, they can't get in transition, so they get these wide-open threes, which they were able to do against Kansas, North Carolina, and, of course, their last game against Kentucky. The other thing is they raised their game with Okiki, one of their best players, out with a torn ACL. That was the day. It was 2 days after he tore his ACL. They went out and played. Now they've had time, which you could say, to adjust without him. But I just usually in sports, you don't see a team rally around a guy for more than a game or two. And then you come down to reality. And I think that's what's going to happen. I'm picking Virginia to win this game. I think a lot of people in America are picking Virginia to win this game, which means take Auburn. Take Auburn. Bet Auburn. But I'm going with Virginia.
I feel like Auburn's had a lot of very favorable matchups for the way they play basketball in this tournament, and this is not. This is that one that's going to derail what they really want to do. And if they're not making their shots and getting those transition threes, it's going to be tough to make some kind of comeback against Virginia like they did against Kentucky. If Virginia can get a lead in this one and play their style of ball, it's really tough for Auburn to be able to win this game. And I'm picking Virginia as well.
I just don't think Auburn can make Virginia turn it over as much as they like. Virginia doesn't turn over a lot. They'll slow the game down, limited possessions. I just like Virginia in this game. The second game's going to be entertaining as well, 7:49 approximately on CBS. It will be Michigan State versus Texas Tech. I really, really want to pick Texas Tech to win this game. I really, really do. But I do look at who Michigan State's played so far in this tournament, and I know that Texas Tech just beat Gonzaga, and I know they just absolutely whipped Michigan, although Michigan State beat Michigan three times this year. Michigan State whipped LSU, I think, is more talented than Michigan. They just beat Duke, and Duke, I think, was the most talented team in America. I don't think a lot of people argue with that.
No.
So, and I like Tom Izzo and the experience. Again, Cassius Winston is a really good point guard. They've got bigs that can match up with Texas Tech. In fact, I think that's going to be interesting because Texas Tech has a couple shot blockers. Texas Tech, I just think, is a little bit more challenged offensively, and I think that might be the difference in the game. I'm going to be cheering for Texas Tech to win. This is what's weird. I'm cheering for Auburn and Texas Tech, which usually the teams I cheer for, they don't win, and it'll be the matchup I don't want. Although I think Michigan State, Virginia will be a really good national championship. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I think this could be a really, really tight game. But I think Cassius Winston's going to be the difference, and I think Michigan State wins in a barn burner and a close one in the second semifinal tomorrow night.
Same reasons, pretty much the same thing. I feel like the experience that Michigan State has and kind of the mindset that they're going to have going into this game compared to what Texas Tech might be just kind of happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I just get that feeling just from that and the way they celebrated and all that stuff. Just you kind of get that feeling that they're just happy to be there, and Michigan State's not. They want to. It's been a while since they've been up at the pinnacle in 19 years, so they want to get that championship, and I think they're going to have what it takes to at least get into the championship game.
They're in the Final Four just as recently as 2015, Michigan State. They've been there many times since 2000, but they've only got the one championship, and that's – and I heard this yesterday on the radio. You always move the bar on coaches. Like with Bill Self, for instance, we'll do a regional, local one. The bar on Bill Self was, well, he can't win the big one, make the Final Four. Then he won a national championship. He won the Elite Eight game against Davidson, so then, okay, fine. Now the bar has been moved on Bill Self. Now it's like, can you win two? That's what's happened to Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo won one. He's been in all kinds of Final Four. He's like, well, that's great and all, but can you win two? Same thing with John Calipari at Kentucky. They were struggling. Billy Gillespie kind of took him south. He came in, turned around Kentucky, which wasn't super hard, but he's a really great recruiter, as we know, whether he does it legally or not. Well, that's another topic for another day. But Calipari is a pretty good coach, too. You have to admit that. And Kentucky, you know, they turn around and they make, what was it? They made it four Final Fours in 10 years. They won a national championship. And the talk is, well, why can't he win two?
Yeah.
It's that the bar continues to move on coaches. So that's the thing that's happened to Tom Izzo. It's like, well, that's great. You made it to all these Final Fours, but you only have one championship to show for it. And I think Michigan State, and plus all the angst that he caught because he yelled at a player, I think the team rallied around that.
Yeah.
And so all these buffoons on social media actually helped Michigan State, spur them on even more. And I think Michigan State's had the toughest road to get to the Final Four. And I think they have a couple of players that were on that Final Four team in 15. I know Goins is one of those who hit that three-pointer to beat Duke. So that'll help them, I think, a little bit. So that's why I like Michigan State in this one. But I wouldn't be shocked if Tech wins at all. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised anything happens. These four teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
There's no heavy favorite. There's no heavy underdog. But I think people would be a little bit surprised if Auburn won the whole thing. But I think if you said Tech or Michigan State or Virginia is going to win the whole thing, nobody would really bat an eye about it.
Yeah.
But there's not just this heavy underdog or heavy favorite. But I think if you picked a favorite, it tends to be people leaning toward Michigan State.
Yeah. The only thing that would really, like, shock me this weekend would be, like, Texas Tech beating Michigan State by 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think anything else, any other result would just be like.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they're both blowouts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right about it. Not shocked, but I'd be surprised. I'm with you. So I'm taking Michigan State versus Virginia. You have the same?
Yes.
Okay, my wife in her bracket picked Virginia to win the whole thing. I'm finally coming to realize she's very smart, smarter than me when it comes to picking games. I'm going, and this is the kiss of death for her bracket, I'm going to pick Virginia to win it all. I'm on board with the whole, you lost to a 16 year before, now you turn around and win it all. And then, people still remember you lost to a 16, but it also helps You know, it's kind of like the Royals. They lost in 14 in Game 7, and Game 7's at home. You just almost always the home team wins. Well, you took that bad taste out of your mouth a year later when they won it all. I think that would be appropriate. I think Tony Bennett's a class act. I think it'd be awesome and fantastic if Virginia won it all. Although the team I'm hoping that wins it all is Texas Tech. Yes. I'm hoping the Big 12 would win one. That'd be great. But I think Virginia's going to win it all.
Chris Beard's easy to cheer for, so that's why I want Texas Tech to win it.
You can hang out and party with that guy.
Based on what we have before we actually know the actual championship matchup, I'm going to go with Michigan State to win it.
Michigan State over Virginia?
Yep.
Okay. All right. The Chiefs picked up a guy from the American Football Alliance, American Alliance of Football, which lasted less than a Kardashian wedding, or marriage, I should say, with Chris Humphries. It lasted 52 days. I know you talked about that the other day. The Chiefs pick up a guy who they already used to have on their team, but apparently go, hey, he's gotten better. Well, yeah, he got better because he's playing against that worst competition. Yeah. Keith Reeser, they picked up a one-year deal, $100,000. It's not a big deal at all. They're not spending a lot of money. And so he'll probably be a backup corner and on special teams, or he won't end up making the team. The Chiefs, of course, have the draft coming up here at the end of April, and Patrick Mahomes will help co-host that draft on ABC. So it's Mahomomania. Mahomie Mania. 15 of my Mahomies. Is that his foundation he revealed on Jimmy Fallon the other night?
15 in Mahomies.
In Mahomies, which I think is kind of a cool name. There's all these mock drafts are out there with NFL draft, and there's the latest one says the Chiefs are going to trade up to get a guy for their pass rush. I don't think the Chiefs are trading up at all. I don't. They traded up a couple years ago. They traded up a couple times last year. I think for the Chiefs, it's about getting more picks. Utilize your picks. Now, if there's a guy you really, really like, you want to trade a couple of picks to swap a spot, I get it. But I just don't see them trading up to get in the middle of the first round. That'll be quite a bit they have to give up to move up from 29th, I think they're picking, all the way to the middle of the first round is quite a jump.
Yeah.
Now, they did it 27-10 with Buffalo a couple years ago to get Patrick Mahomes, and that was the greatest move they've ever made in their franchise's history, probably. But I just don't think the Chiefs are going to be that active in regards to early in the draft moving up in a first round.
I don't think they need to be.
I don't think they need to either. But if they really are sold on a guy,
that's
all it takes. So we shall see how that turns out.